From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter with this look at local, regional, and statewide news. A judge has again put a hold this morning on the campaign to recall Governor Mike Dunleavy. Anchorage Superior Court Judge Eric Arseth issued a stay that halts the organization Recall Dunleavy from gathering signatures to hold a recall election pending a decision from the Alaska Supreme Court. Arseth previously overruled a state division of elections decision rejecting the recall application. The organization Stand Tall with Mike asked for the stay. Stand Tall with Mike lawyer Brewster Jamison said that if the Supreme Court were to overturn one of the grounds for recall, it would harm those who had signed the petition based on all of the stated grounds.
That could throw this process into some confusion, and it would be irreparable harm to the public.
Recall Dunleavy argued that courts ruled in the past that signatures for initiatives had counted, even after courts invalidated some parts of the initiatives. Recall Dunleavy spokeswoman Claire Pywell says she hopes the court will hear the case quickly.
From our perspective, every day that Alaskans are prevented from exercising a constitutional right that the framers had the foresight to provide Alaskans is a day that there's harm being caused.
If the Supreme Court upholds Arseth's ruling approving the recall application, the signature gathering would start. The campaign must gather more than 71,000 signatures to hold the recall. The Division of Elections will review the signatures after they're submitted to determine if they're valid. Once the elections director determines there are enough signatures, an election would be held within 90 days. If Dunleavy is recalled, Lieutenant Governor Kevin Meyer would become the governor. The Juneau police officer who shot and killed a man while responding to a 911 call last month has returned to duty. Aaron Kalwara, a spokesperson for the Juneau Police Department, says that Officer James Espenshade is currently assigned to administrative duties. That could be anything from catching up on paperwork to working the front desk at the police station.
He's not on patrol. He's not in uniform.
Espenshade has been with the Juneau Police Department for more than a decade. He was responding to a 911 call on December 29th when he encountered Kelly Michael Stevens. Police say Stevens threatened to kill Espenshade and swung a rope with a chain attached to the end at the officer. Police say Espenshade warned Stevens to stop before he fired one shot, hitting the 34-year-old tattoo artist in the stomach. Stevens didn't die immediately, and some eyewitnesses dispute the timeline of what happened after the shooting, but police say they handcuffed Stevens and called paramedics. Juneau police consulted with Alaska State Trooper investigators after the shooting. However, both Kalwara and troopers say the Juneau Police Department is leading its own investigation. That investigation has not been completed. Kalwara says Juneau police plan to hold another press conference when they finish it. The tribal lawsuit over herring in Sitka Sound boiled down to one question this week. Does the management of the commercial seine fishery still allow residents a reasonable opportunity to harvest enough spawn for subsistence? Attorneys for the Sitka Tribe of Alaska and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game offered polar opposite views on the issue during oral arguments in Sitka Superior Court on Tuesday. KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports.
Both the Sitka Tribe and the state have made cross motions for summary judgment in the case, with the tribe arguing that fisheries managers are failing to comply with the state's own regulations for the Sitka Sound sacro herring fishery, spelled out in Alaska Administrative Code. Attorney Andrew Erickson spoke on behalf of the tribe. Although the venue for the case is Sitka, Erickson and the other counsel appeared before presiding judge Daniel Shalley in his courtroom in Juneau.
That's where we are now. We're filing a declaratory judgment asking this court to declare what the regulation means.
Erickson argued that the court needed to fill the gaps in statute to ensure that the law was followed. The state's position, since the case opened in 2018, is that the authority to implement fisheries regulations lies with the Alaska Board of Fisheries, not with the courts. Attorney Michael Stanley represents the Southeast Herring Conservation Alliance, an intervener in the case on behalf of the state. Stanley argued that the Sitka tribe was bypassing the board process and hoping to catch a break in the courts.
The notion that the board has failed to take a hard look at the issues involving these fisheries is absurd, frankly. Now, counsel for the tribe noticed. So they did what any team of lawyers that zealously representing their clients would do. They cast about for a hook with which to snag some relief. and they landed on 5AAC27195.
That's the specific Alaska Administrative Code covering the Sitka Sound Sacro herring fishery, which says the Department of Fish and Game, quote, shall distribute the commercial harvest by fishing time and area if the department determines that it is necessary to ensure that subsistence users have a reasonable opportunity to harvest the amount of herring spawn necessary for subsistence uses, end quote. Stanley went on to suggest that trying to establish the meaning of reasonable opportunity was not a problem the courts could solve.
But that's the problem, Your Honor. The case is a construct. It's an artifact of litigation. It's abstract. It's not grounded in reality.
The tribe countered by diving into a deposition made by state biologist Eric Coonrat, who manages the fishery. Attorney Erickson quoted from portions of the deposition where Coonrat testified that, all things being equal, he would allow a commercial opening to occur on the border of the closed subsistence area if the fish there were more marketable than another school farther away. Erickson said that this testimony clearly identified the state's priorities were not aligned with statute.
That's the essence of this claim, is that they're subjugating the subsistence priority to the needs of the commercial fishery. And they're saying that the closed area mostly took care of everything. But it's essentially, there's no fish getting into the closed area if they're opening the commercial fishery right on the border and intercepting all the fish.
Erickson cited additional testimony in which the state biologist said he had no access to any data during the fishery which would allow him to determine whether subsistence harvesters had reasonable opportunity. Erickson suggested that this was concrete evidence that the state was out of compliance with its own requirement for reasonable opportunity.
This isn't a construct that we've created. It's just a matter that the department hasn't been implementing the regulation.
Judge Daniel Shalley made no ruling following the hour of argument, but took the matter under advisement and promised a decision soon. The court is certainly aware of the time factor, he said, given that we're in late January and this fishery, if it occurs, is in late March. Judge Shalley a year ago ruled against the Sitka tribe when it sought an injunction to require the state to revise its management strategy in the weeks prior to the 2019 sacro fishery. However, no commercial fishery opened in Sitka Sound last season due to weak markets for the relatively small fish available, the first time there had been no opener since 1977. Depending on Judge Shalley's ruling on summary judgment, the Sitka tribe's full case against the state is scheduled for trial in July. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Governor Mike Dunleavy is visiting the southeast town of Wrangell next Tuesday. That's according to Wrangell Mayor Steve Prisunka, who says the governor's office has been coordinating with city officials for a February 4th trip. The mayor has been critical of the impact of the governor's budget cuts, especially to ferry service, but he says the governor will be warmly welcomed. City officials confirmed meetings with the Wrangell Assembly, local tribe, Chamber of Commerce, and the school district. A community-wide meeting is tentatively set for the evening. And a plane evacuating 201 Americans from the Chinese city at the center of the virus outbreak continued Wednesday on to Southern California after everyone aboard passed a health screening test in Anchorage, Alaska. The aircraft had stopped there to refuel. All the passengers had already been through two screenings in China and were screened twice more in Anchorage. Alaska's Department of Health and Social Services says one passenger received medical attention for a minor injury that happened before boarding the airplane in China. In California, they will undergo additional health screenings and be temporarily housed for a period of time. GCI Wireless Internet and TV Service had interruptions in multiple parts of Southeast Alaska Tuesday. The company reports disruptions to those services in Petersburg, Craig, Juneau, and Ketchikan. Spokesperson Heather Handyside Tuesday said the problems were caused by routing of data traffic to those communities. And taking a quick look at weather, the National Weather Service in Juneau has issued a winter storm warning. It's in effect from midnight tonight through 6 p.m. Thursday morning. Heavy snow and high winds are expected. Total snow accumulations of 5 to 10 inches in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay northward. That's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. For more local and state news, go to ktoo.org. I'm Adeline Baxter.